If you are in the app business, then you are driven to make a great app. But how do you know it's a commercial success? And if it is, when and how do you make the call to make an exit? My guest, Idan Waller of Blue Throne, has a calculator and a valuable checklist to help you get a good deal when you sell your app. So stay tuned for this and more in episode number 456. Welcome to Mobile Presence, your destination for everything mobile. I'm your host, as always, Peggy Ann Saltz, mobile analyst, tech consultant, senior Forbes writer, and founder of Mobile Groove. And if you're in the app business, which is probably one reason why you're listening to us in the first place, or you are just driven to make apps, you want to make a great app, but then again, you also want to know, is the app you have on your hands a commercial success? It is a valuable app, okay? So what are your options? Well, we're gonna find out that and more today with my guest. He's Idan Waller, co-founder and CMO of Blue Throne, and he's going to share what you need to know to make that call and even possibly make that exit. It's gonna be an eye-opener. I can't wait to start. So I just say we strap ourselves in for some straight talk and advice because Idan is the one, or is it Idan? He'll tell me in a moment. Idan, isn't it Idan?
It's Idan, yes.
How are you doing, Peggy? Well, first of all, welcome, Idan, because I'm excited. You are the textbook diehard marketer. I've read your bio, right? You fought deep inside the muddy conversion trenches and the direct response marketing. And you've done that in Israel. You've emerged with an innovative idea. It is Blue Throne becoming the biggest app aggregator in the mobile industry. So let's just start with that right there, Idan. Blue Throne, It's an app aggregator. What is that? What do you do?
So it's a good question because when we presented this idea, myself and my brother, to our investors, they were like, what do you guys do? We never heard of such company before, so we had to like term this coin. And actually, we learned it from the Amazon world. Me, myself and my brother had some stores in the Amazon online. And in this industry, what happened was that 3 years ago, developed a niche industry, which is Amazon aggregators. So these companies would buy Amazon stores that cannot grow anymore. And they would just run them in-house with all their financial power and teams and experts and everything. So we said, okay, let's do the same thing in the app world. Why not?
It's smart. It's smart. It's just saying, you know, these are stores that aren't quite up to snuff, whatever. Yeah, we can buy them up. And that's what you're doing here. But you're doing more than that, because what you're telling me is that before I can sell, or before I even want to think about selling, you're letting me know how valuable my app is. So how do I know I have a commercial success on my hands?
Okay, what we discovered is that talented developers are usually extraordinary at something, but not in everything. So when we see extraordinary metrics, even if it's one metric, it could be downloads, it could be revenue, it could be retention, it could be raving fan base, whatever, then we smell what we call the PMF app, which is a product market fit app. It's an app that the market actually loves and we can grow with it. So that's the first thing I would look for as an app owner.
Mm-hmm. So something that just sort of fits the times, that it's one of these apps that is what we're looking for at this point in time. So that's going to be one of the things that get your attention. Am I hearing it correctly?
Yes, but also extraordinary metric, one metric that is out of norm, okay. in a positive way, of course. That's also a very, very good sign. It means that you're doing something well.
Okay. I mean, there are a lot of metrics to look at. There's downloads, there's sessions, there's a lot. I just want to get a little bit closer and hone in on that. What are some of the metrics, because I'm thinking about this, I'm an app developer, I have my app and I'm thinking, maybe I'll go to Blue Throne or maybe I'll use your tool. We'll get to that tool in a moment.
Yeah.
But first I have to understand Am I ready? Do I make the cut? What are some questions I need to ask myself about my business?
The most important question is, once you have a successful app, which means it makes some revenue, at let's say at least 5K a month and above, where are you on the life cycle of the app? Because an app is like a business, is like a company. And Peggy, I have a question for you. From the original list of the S&P 500, which represent the 500 biggest publicly traded companies in the US, how many survived since 1957 when the S&P began?
It's some sort of horrible number. I know I've done some research into this. What's the number?
94, only 94 companies.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
These are the biggest companies, and they have all the teams, and they have all the expertise, yeah, and the capital and everything. So what we learned from that is, again, that every business has its life cycle, and also an app has a life cycle. For example, what we'll see the first stage of an app is, we call it in Bluetron, the hockey stick. So you see like this rise up, and the app does really well, and it's also exciting and fun phase to be involved in. That's where you get excited, that's when you do the new stuff, that's where you get traction. Then the growth slows, it becomes a plateau, it begins dying, and then at the end it becomes, the app becomes a white wolf. White wolf is a star that died, basically. So that's the life cycle of an app. So we must understand that, first of all, an app is not a baby like some developers think, which is okay, I understand. And it's not a passive asset as well. It's an active digital asset that you have to manage, and you have to grow, and you have to push forward. So basically, once I understand that the app won't be here for life, then I can think about it more strategically, and also bring into question or into my strategy, well, maybe I can sell one of my apps. Usually developers have more than one app. Well, maybe I can sell one of my apps in the right stage at the right time, and then I can finance everything and grow much, much, much faster.
Good point. And I love the fact that you've more or less, rather than talk about a life cycle in a sense where there's growth and growth and then stop, you know, there are these stages of when it stops to grow, but it's still viable. And I love the way that you've compared that to a star, basically, because you are eventually going to be a white dwarf, but it's a long time in there, and there's a lot of mileage, as you pointed out. So you've given me some idea about the questions I need to ask and the model I can keep in mind. But it's complicated. So you have a calculator on your website, which is
awesome.
How does that work?
Okay, so a lot of developers mailed us and asked us, okay, before I talk to you guys, how can I know that my app is worth something that I will be happy to accept? Like it will be an exit I will be happy with. So we said, okay, let's create a valuation tool, and a free app valuation tool. So we have it on our website, bluetron.io. And what it does, it's rather simple. You just put the link of the app, then you choose your traffic sources, how many downloads you have, what's the revenue you have, if the app is on iOS, Android, web, or a couple of them. And then it just calculates like a range of valuation, and you get the middle. So it means like this is something that your app might worth. We don't know. We have to, of course, look deep into it. But I think our listeners will be surprised to see how much the asset that they have is worth, which is always nice to know that you're sitting on a couple of $100,000 or millions.
You talked about the metrics. It has to be one outstanding metric. Now, I'm using your calculator, and there has to also be something about a mindset. How do I know I'm ready to sell? You know, a lot of app developers, it's their baby, as you said yourself. You know, you have to know why I'm ready to sell, or why even owners sell to you. What can you share there? You know, they're ready to cash in. Is it to keep up growth? Is it to liquidate assets? What's the mindset that you're looking for here?
Look, the truth is, Peggy, let's divert this question to you, at least at the beginning. Peggy, give me You're most the three things you're most extraordinary at. You're doing the best. You really, this is top three things that you do best.
Me personally.
Yes, personally.
Me personally. Okay. What I do best is I create content that is accessible to everybody. And also work hard to make certain we all understand it. So I'm a little bit of a translator and a little bit of a creator. That would be one. That's a big one right there. The other thing is I cultivate platforms to give people like yourself an opportunity to tell us things that we would not know otherwise. And three, I would say analysis, answer the why question. Okay, that's my part. That's you're interviewing me now.
Perfect.
Okay, so that's it. Those are my three things.
Wait, I'm not finished. And one thing you absolutely hate to do and you're pretty bad at, if you're totally honest with yourself.
Oh, what I'm really bad at and I hate to do. It's probably what you're excellent at, which is, the management of taking a great asset and getting all the mileage out of it. There's probably probably some money I'm leaving on the table in my life because I'm too busy creating. But there you go. Okay.
Exactly. So you're human. I'm a human. Our developers and listeners are human. All of us are talented at what we do. We're very good at some things and very bad at other ones. So you ask why developers sell us, because they reach a growth ceiling. They can't grow anymore because they already did the things they're really good at. For example, finding a good idea, making a great graphics, UI, UX, convert well, like giving true love to their fan base, and the fan base get it and shares the app. But then it's done, and then growth stops, and you reach a growth ceiling, and then the app begins to decline, and that's not fun, because the more the app is in decline or is in plateau, the more you need to invest in it in energy, and that's annoying to invest energy just to keep something running instead of invest energy to grow something. So basically, what we discovered is that like 99% of developers are really good at taking the app from zero to one. They're excellent at it, and they're probably experts in generally taking things from zero to one. What we do is take it from one to 100. That's what we're good at. That's what we, like, you saw correctly. That's what we do well.
Well, now that you put it in that way and frame it that way, John, I can totally, totally see this. I want to ask you more about this, but we are coming to a break, so I will have to stop. But we are going to come back. We're going to talk about what impresses you. You know, what do you look for in an app? What gets you excited? Because, of course, it is a transaction. It has to work. So, listeners, don't go away. We'll be right back after the break.
Mobile Presence, sponsored by CleverTap, a leading engagement and retention platform, will be back after this message.
Welcome back to Mobile Presence, and we have Idan Waller. He is co-founder, CMO at Blue Throne, and I'm enjoying this a ton, Idan. I mean, it's not just a great, great topic, but you're also making it so human, so understandable. You know, we're talking about what motivates us as humans. When do you, when do you put up and when do you pull out? I mean, that's what it's about in business. Of course, there's two people involved here. There's two parts. It's a transaction. So I know what my app is worth and I know my limitations, but what are you looking for in an app before you purchase it? I mean, what impresses you most? Not just the metrics, what impresses you the most?
Yeah, oh, for sure. I can tell you like a real life story that happened here in the office in which we're holding this interview. By the way, I'm in Phuket, Thailand. We have offices here, and also in Singapore and in Tel Aviv. So today we worked on a deal which will actually get closed. We signed the LOI of a great app from the hypno birthing niche. Like, I never knew this thing, hypno birthing. Maybe I'm not saying it correctly. Can you understand me? Hypno birthing? Yeah.
Hypno
birthing, like birth, like giving birth. right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Hypnobirthing niche. Yeah, I never heard of this niche before. And we discovered the real gem. And not only that, the pregnant women who download the app absolutely love it and they are very happy to pay for it, but also the niche is growing. The niche is strong. The niche is developing in a few countries like Ireland, the UK, and the US, which is really surprising, and also Ghana for some reason. So that's what we love to do. We like to discover these gems, which could be apps or could be niches, could be, and you never know what you're gonna run into. So that's why I love this business. What it's exciting business, because we see all kinds of apps and all kinds of niches. And then when you discover a gem like this, this is what makes us excited.
So let's say you're excited by my app. Of course, app owners want to see their app succeed. Maybe even after they sell it to you, they still want to see it
selling. You know? They do. It's very important to them. Yeah.
So how do they get sort of unstuck? And what do you do to move the apps forward? You know, you buy it, but you don't just like put it on a shelf. You're doing something. Tell me about how I engage with you and what you do to move that app to really get from that 1 to 100.
Okay, so what developers like to do is to do the thrilling, the fun stuff, the new stuff, the fast growth, the hockey stick, all of that, which I totally understand. I also like to build businesses. But what we do is the boring stuff. You get one to 100 goes through the boring stuff, through the meticulous stuff, through the stuff that are repetitive and annoying and measurable. And all of this. So within this category, you can find, of course, ASO, UA, deep avatar, customer avatar research, really deep, which I like to do personally, by the way. And then we build features that are paid features that will increase the LTV of the app. We can also do like go to the Wild West, we call it, to the Wild West and get out of the app stores, out of Google Play, and create activity on the internet, like doing articles or working with the influencers and all kind of stuff like this that really are really meticulous, really measurable. We measure everything. We are marketing and measurement fanatics. And that's how you grow an app. This is the boring way. This is the long way. But this is what we'll have to do. What can we do?
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the relationship itself? You know, I want to understand how important that is at a very basic level. When I was reading on your website, I was reading a lot of different things. You got a ton of really cool videos out there, you know, and you're talking about how important it is to be upfront, you know, expose any skeletons in my closet before you find them out.
Yeah. Peggy, I tell you, if I could count the number of skeletons in the closet that we find in Blue Throne, we can open a cemetery right here. So... this is incredible. There are so many shenanigans in this industry that it's we're always amazed. We take it in good spirits, of course, because we discover everything during our MRI and X-ray stages, which is tools we develop here in Bluetooth to discover all these things. But yeah, please be upfront, be honest. It's okay if you bought this or you did that. It's all good. Just come up and say it and look at some cases. The app is really good. It's a product market fit app, a PMF app. Mm-hmm. It's in a good niche. So, okay, we can still work out a deal. But if we discover it and we know a developer lied to us or tried to deceive us, you know, that's basic trust. What we're trying to do here is a win-win deal between us and a developer. Hey, you take your exit money, you can grow, you can relieve financial stress, you can really create a new life that's totally real and that's totally what happens. But please be honest with us. Tell us what you did in the first access call. We'll talk about it, put stuff on the table, and then we can grow together.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking at some of the people who had cashed in, and I love the motto on your website, right? It's just cash in and move on. That's what it's about. But some people took the money and did things like bought a Mustang. So what do people actually do with this? I mean, give me some anecdotes, because it sounds pretty wild, pretty interesting. I mean, some people took you by word and said, hey, I'm going to cash in and move on in style, man.
Okay, so this is a fun question. So like you said,
not a bad idea, but I think there might be a little bit more to life than that. But anyway, tell me a few of them.
Okay, so you saw the Mustang. That's Pietro.
Yeah.
Ciao Pietro, how are you? What else was I'm looking for the funny things, the extraordinary things. Let's see. There was this guy who went to India to take a 6 months vacation out of the business. He's from the US, I believe. What else? People bought the wife stuff all the time. There's some compensation going on there. You know, he gets exit money. I neglected the wife. Okay, let's get her a ring. Let's get her an earring, something like that. That's very common as well. People bought houses, of course, but that's the regular stuff. Invested. But mostly what developers do, there's like, we also recommend them to do this. They take a vacation, like allow themselves to breathe because they got rid of financial stress. We even sometimes book them the ticket ourselves. Here's on us, go take a breather. And then go work on your next project, but this time in a leveraged way, not you by yourself or with a team that limits you. But let's grow. You can now reinvest this money in a new app. Developers always have new ideas because they're experts at taking things from zero to one. But let's do it properly, in a leveraged way, with a bigger team, with bigger help. With maybe somebody, if you hate to do UA and you hate to do marketing, get someone to do it for you. Now you have the money. Now you have the company. Now you can grow more. So basically, maybe we should create content on this subject. I didn't think about it, actually. What do you do after an exit as a developer? Yeah. This is good stuff. Yeah.
Of course, developers, to your point, you know, if you have it, you've got it in your DNA, and you're going to go out and you're going to say, great, I'm going to take a break, maybe drive around in the Mustang, but ultimately you're going to come back and you're going to try again because it's in you.
You can
develop another app. How does it work with you? You know, how do I get you to invest? What's the one thing beyond the metrics, you know, something that really clinches the deal for you? Because I'm sure that there are some who are saying, okay, 5K monthly was one of the things I heard that's going to like get me into the top group mm-hmm. with you. I have to have an outstanding metric, some decent revenue. What clinches the deal?
Again, for us, we like to find gems, and gems is a good app, a product market fit app. In a good niche that grows, and you can deliver. I'll give you another example. We'll be talking with this guy from the UK, US, I don't know. He has an app for Tesla, for his Tesla car. Okay, so we go look at the niche. Wow, you see, it's growing like crazy, like a Tesla apps niche. And what's beautiful in it, that this guy has a moat around his business. What's the moat? You can only develop an app for a Tesla if you have a Tesla yourself.
Huh.
So these are interesting things. Of course, not every app has this particular situation, but that's what we like to discover. We like to discover good apps that people love, and if the niche is good or the niche is stable even, then we can really go ahead. Then we love to go ahead. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Last question, I know it will always depend, but just to give people an idea, you know, what kind of valuations for apps are we talking about? Have you run across people who are sitting on a gem, don't know it, and make off with significant figures, or is this not that kind of thing?
It goes both ways. Mm-hmm. Yes, firstly, yes, of course, people like, you've got developers from countries like India and Pakistan and Vietnam. Very good developer, and the fair, when suddenly you tell him, okay, your app is worth about $500,000 or $1 million or $1.2 million or even $3 million, they're ecstatic because it's like for them this amount is like, I don't know, for us maybe getting $100 million, okay, comparably. But there's also the other side in which developers with like dying apps. We see a lot of dying apps, okay? And then they try to say, okay, this app is worth 800K, 500K, and you discover it doesn't worth even 100K, which is also okay. So it depends. It depends if you have a really good app and you really believe in it and you really did something nice with it, and you created it from your heart, with all your creativity and passion, and you grew it and you took care of it, and you had some luck and the niche is good, then you're on for a great exit.
And you'll only know if you go use your tool, Idan, correct?
You will never know without it. That
exactly.
Is correct.
I'm going to have that in the show notes, Idan. And the tool is over at Blue Throne. What's the URL for that?
Bluethrone.io.
.io. And I'll find the tool right there on the homepage. I did see it. I was tempted. I wondered if I could put someone else's app in there and find out a little competitive intel.
Can
I do that?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Of course,
knows?
You can okay. Get a range of evaluation. Of course, you can.
Yeah, get evaluation.
Test your friends up, guys. Yeah.
I'll put a few in from my colleagues. Maybe they're sitting on a gold mine and don't know it. Idan, this has been great fun. And you know, you should have like your own sort of like app focused Shark Tank thing going on where you like have
a
reality
a
show.
I like your marketing mind. This is an excellent idea.
That would be so cool. You know,
like
you don't
it.
Have to do everyone because not everyone wants to come out and be part of it. But you could imagine like, you know, I'm based in Europe, so I get to watch Dragon's Den, which is similar to Shark Tank. You know, you could imagine yourself, your brother, a couple other people. Guy brings up his app and says, hey, you know, what do you think? I think it'd be kind of cool.
I agree. I love the idea.
Well, I love what you're doing, and it was great to have you on my show and also to shine a light on what you're doing and hopefully also helping some indie developers out there because, you know, it's a tough time. It's a strong breed. They've got a lot of good stuff. So who knows? Maybe we close the circle here. In any case, thanks so much for sharing, Idan. It was a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Peggy. It was a pleasure.
And I'll look for that show. I'll look for that show. And that, my friends, of course, is a wrap. If you want to keep up with me throughout the week or find out more about how you can be a guest or sponsor on Mobile Presence, then you can email me, Peggy. Peggy@mobilegroove.com is where you can find my portfolio of content marketing and app marketing services. You can check out this and all earlier episodes of our show, which is like 455 at this point, by going to WMR.FM, or you can find our shows on Amazon, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Spotify, and iHeartRadio simply by searching Mobile Presence. And don't forget video, because Idan has been on video holding the phone himself, all of it powered by The Groove on YouTube every moment, so you can listen to us on the move or you can watch us on YouTube. So until next time, remember, every minute is mobile, so make every minute count. Keep well, stay safe, and we'll see you soon.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.